Calvary Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Last week's sermon was titled, Give Thanks to the Lord for His Faithfulness. Well, today's title of the sermon is, Give Thanks to the Lord Again for His Faithfulness. We're going to continue and do this again. Now, I'm not going to do the same thing I did last week again, but we're going to continue on. You see, there are many occasions in which we see the Bible reminding us, constantly reminding us of God's abundant acts on our behalf. All the things that He does, all of the powerful things, all of the mighty and supernatural divine acts of God on our behalf. You see, and I think the intention of every single one of the writers is that we may not forget. Don't forget. This is just for our memory. This is to remind us who God is constantly and every day. From beginning to end, this book is about reminding us how much God loves us. He is who He is, and whatever He says is true, and it's being fulfilled. From Genesis to Revelation, everything that is written here has become true, and whatever hasn't will become and will come to pass. So we need to trust Him. And that's why He keeps reminding us. But you see, but He doesn't want to just remind us of the past and what He has done. He also wants to affirm us in the present. He wants us to live today as if we can have hope and we can trust Him today, for today's struggles, for today's problems, not just because He's done it before, but because He is still the same today. This is the same God who made great, marvelous things on His people's behalf. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says, never changing. He is everlasting. His hand has not come short. He is still sitting on the throne. He is in the heavens. And the Bible said that the earth is His footstool. You see, it's not that He's trampling the world and He's standing over us. He is over us. That's the important thing. You see, this should give us hope for today. Hope that the same God who had something special for His people then has something special for His people today. That our destiny, that our future, that everything that is to come is in His hands. And in His hands, we are safe and secure if we trust Him. You see, we can live in deliverance. We can live in freedom. We can live without fears. We can live at peace because God, the great God and creator of the universe, made us. He did. He made us for Himself to love us and for us to love Him. He made us with purpose. He made us in His image and likeness. And He has not forgotten about us. And He is just ready to do whatever it takes and whatever we need today. Why? Because His kindness, His loving kindness, and His faithfulness is everlasting. Now check out Psalm 136. I'm going to read it for you. And if you want to read the second line with me, this is the way it was meant to be. This is a song that was called an antiphonal song, which the choir sang one line, and then the congregation did the other. The choir did the next line, and the congregation. You get the job to repeat yourself. So it's easy. All right? Let's think about this for a second. In Psalm 136, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Come on. Give thanks to God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His kindness is everlasting. Or loving kindness, I'm sorry. To Him who made the heavens with skill, to Him who spread out the earth above the waters, to Him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. You get it, right? You get the picture? Come on, yeah. To Him who smote the Egyptians and their firstborns, for His loving kindness is everlasting, and brought Israel out from their midst, for His loving kindness is everlasting, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness is everlasting. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Come on, don't give up on me. To him who smote great kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and slew mighty kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and Og, king of Bashan, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and gave their land as a heritage, for his loving kindness is everlasting, even a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his loving kindness is everlasting, who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting, who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Wow. If you need a drink of water, you can get one at the end of the service, I guess. God bless you. You see, so many reasons to be thankful, so many reasons God has given us. And let's think about a couple of them, okay? First of all, we give thanks for his powerful deliverance. For his powerful deliverance. We're going to start in verse 10 because we covered the first 9 verses last week. And we talked about him as a creator for his creation. We talked about different things. Today we're going to talk about a couple. We're going to talk about his deliverance. You see, we give thanks for his powerful deliverance. Deliverance is defined as when one is rescued from bondage or danger. That is deliverance, when you're rescued from a bondage or a danger. Deliverance in the Bible is the act of God whereby he rescues his people from peril, from all of the dangers and perils and everything. In the Old Testament, we see deliverance was focused on God's removal of his people from the bondage in Egypt, from the troubles, from the dangers. You see, he rescues his people from his enemies and from the hands of the wicked. That's what God does, and that's what he's done. You see, and of course, the most striking example of all of this is what we see in the story of the Exodus when the people of God came out of Egypt. And here, God is defined as a deliverer, the one who rescues his people, not because they deserve to be rescued, but simply because is an expression of his loving kindness, is an expression of his mercy, is an expression of his love. That's why it keeps saying and repeating 26 times, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, as we move and progress through the history of God's creation, we see then in the New Testament that we talk about the deliverance from a physical, maybe, towards a spiritual. We see the deliverance that God brings for us and does for us in Christ Jesus when he dies on the cross to deliver us from the condemnation of sin. You see, the descriptions in the Old Testament of all this deliverance and what God had done were just precursors. It was just like a foreshadow of things to come about the spiritual deliverance that God would perform through Jesus Christ dying on the cross for the sinner, the sinless for the sinner. And he offers this deliverance to you and to me to save us from peril, from sin, from evil, from death, from judgment and condemnation. This is amazing. And he does that with power and strength, with his mighty hand and outstretched arm. Imagine that. And we see that when he says that a little bit in verse 12, I'm sorry, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He divided the Red Sea. Can you imagine that? What an amazing thing. Now, when we look at verses 10 through 13, it speaks of the striking of Israel, of Egypt as they were following them. You see, he delivers us from the grip of bondage. They had spent 400 years in bondage as slaves in Egypt, working for somebody else, working at the expense of their own lives and just being chastised every day and put to work and just enslaved, period. They were struck The Egyptians now were struck by God. They brought something on Israel that they just couldn't finish. And God said, Israel, you coming out with me. And he brings Israel out of Egypt. And now then he get to the Red Sea and he allows them to pass through the Red Sea, but not by swimming, not by boats, but by dry land. He overthrows Pharaoh's army. And then he strikes down many kings along the way. And there's actually a list of them, and we read it already. You see, that's what God does. He delivers us from the bondage of our sin. Deliver us from the bondage of Satan. I want you to look at what Jesus said to Simon Peter in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Wow. But I have prayed for you. This is Jesus talking to Peter and saying, don't worry. I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail in you. And you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. I want you to understand how hopeful Jesus is for the hopeless. He's willing to deliver them. He's willing to deliver you. He's willing to deliver me. He's willing to deliver Peter. He's telling Peter, you know what? I prayed for you that your faith will not fall. Yet Jesus already knew that Peter was going to deny him three times. But then he says, but I pray that when you're done with all of that, you will strengthen others. There was hope. There was a destiny for Peter. There was something that Jesus had already prayed for. And whatever Jesus has prayed for, amen, amen, amen. You see, he had a plan for him to deliver him from the hand of Satan. He said, you know, Satan had asked permission to sift you like wheat, and he will, but I got you. I got you. I got you. This is amazing. See, God is always getting us out of trouble. Has God ever gotten you out of trouble? Oh, my God, isn't he great and isn't he wonderful? In Psalm 54 in verse 7 says, for he has delivered me from all trouble and my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies. Wow, this is David speaking. And if you know the story of David, he was persecuted. He went through so much, but God got him out of trouble. Even he got into trouble because he sinned and God rescued him. He didn't get him out of some of the troubles, but he did rescue him at the end. You see, God will rescue us from illness. You've heard the testimony here. In Psalm 103 and verse 3 says, he who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. God can heal you. God can heal you when you're going through your worst. Doesn't matter what's going on. God has the power to heal you. He will defend you. He will keep you out of the enemy's hand. And Luke chapter 1 and verse 74 says that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. You see, serve him without fear. You've been delivered from your fears because you have been delivered from your enemies if you are in Christ. This is amazing. God's deliverance for us from the grip of bondage. And why does he do it? He does it because he is love, and his love casts out all fears. You don't have to fear because he loves you. You see, in verse 12, like I said, with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, because of his loving kindness endures forever. I want you to imagine this moment. The people of God are fleeing Egypt. They're running. They're just coming out of there like they're, oh my God, we're run for your lives. And when they approach the Red Sea, all of a sudden they find themselves between a rock and a hard place. They find this deep sea right in front of them, and they find that there's a big army weaponized to come after them. And they have no weapons. They have no way to defend themselves. Can you imagine the terror and the tremors of these people while they're standing there? Well, if you read the story, you know that they started complaining. They say, oh my God, you brought us here to die. The situation does not look good. Our circumstances are truly, truly bad. But then the mighty hand and outstretched arm of God says, Moses, lift up your rod and just come on, do something with it. And the seas are divided. When the hand of God and his outstretched arm comes through, the seas are divided. And the Bible says that they walked in dry land. They were not walking on water. They were not swimming over in the waters. They were walking in dry land because God held the seas on both sides like a big wall, the Bible says. And there's so many stories and so many things that some scientists are saying that that's not true. I believe this one because God is the one who knows all science. You see, you can cast out all your fears. You don't have to fear when you find yourself in front of a big sea of problems and when you see the enemy coming after you because God can help you. In Psalm 34 and verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. You seek God. We don't have to fear if God has his arm outstretched and if he has his hand upon us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear condemnation of sin. We are no longer in bondage when we are in Christ. We have been delivered from the condemnation. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 it says, He, this is Jesus, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us or rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You see, Jesus already gave himself and he already did the work that needed to be done to deliver us from condemnation. You see, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You have been set free by Christ when you believe him. And as a result, you are free. You are delivered. You can live in freedom from the coming wrath. You don't have to worry about God's wrath when you have been rescued by God, when you have experienced his deliverance. I'm going to show you a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus deliver us from the wrath that is coming. Now check out in chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your destiny is not to experience the wrath of God and destruction and going to hell. You see, God's plan for you is to save you, to rescue you, to deliver you, so that his coming wrath will not be upon you. But you have to believe because every single one of these statements says something that is truly important and unique. In Christ Jesus, there is no other way to be delivered except in Christ Jesus. Remember the song? I'm no longer a slave to sin or to fear. I am a child of God. You see, you can proclaim that if you believed him. And you can cast out all your fears. You can do that because he loves you. He's got powerful deliverance over you. He delivers you from bondage. So therefore, we need to be thankful for his powerful deliverance. Number two, let me give you another one. Well, this one's a compound one. Just like two or three reasons to be thankful to God in one here. But we need to be thankful for his protection and his guidance. For his protection and his guidance. And I want you to think about this. After God's mighty, marvelous, and powerful display of what he did with Israel. I mean, he's showing himself to be big and mighty and powerful, delivering them from the slavery in Egypt and from the army with Pharaoh following them. And when you think about it, they came to that place, and that when they saw the Red Sea, they started complaining. Now God, mighty hand and outstretched arm, comes over, opens the sea. They walk through and they see Pharaoh's army die, drowned in the water, and they come out on the other side. Not one of them was lost. I want you to think about this. Some experts think that the people of Israel was probably, there was probably about 2 million of them. Can you imagine 2 million people crossing? And then right after they cross, the other army drowns in the water, and not one of that army survives. This is way truly amazing. This is way too much for me. See, because of the mighty hand of God has not shortened, God still has a mighty arm of protection And he will continue. And then they get to the other side. And what the first thing that they start doing? Wah, wah, wah. Complaining and whining again. I mean, they just, can you imagine if you had just seen a miracle like this, would you be complaining? Yes, you would. I probably would too. Because that's in our nature. We see God's greatness and then we want more. Well, it's okay to want more, but don't complain. And that's what we, unfortunately, that's what sin does to us. You see, they had been taken out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. And they started thinking, we're hungry. We're in this desert. And all the stuff that we used to eat in Egypt, it was so amazing, the food we ate. I mean, we had to work hard. We were lashed out. We were chastised. We were punished. I mean, we worked like crazy. But you know what? We ate. And now here we are in the desert. What are we going to eat now? Why did you bring us out, Moses? To die? And all of a sudden, God starts showing his protection and his guidance. He led the people in the wilderness. When you look at Psalm 136 and verse 24, it says that he rescued them from all of their adversaries. He gave them food. He did all kinds of stuff for them. And let me show you a couple of things here. First of all, he protected them from the natural elements and their enemies along the way. From the natural elements and the enemies along the way. See, from all of their adversaries, like it says in verse 24. What are some of the elements of this desert? Well, it's cold at night, freezing cold at night, and it's scorching hot during the day. So what did God do? God brings a pillar of fire at night to give them light, to guide them, and not only that, to keep them warm in the cold of the night. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine seeing the skies lit up with fire? I would run because I'm pretty sure fire will come in after me. I'd probably be the reason why God lights up the fire on the skies coming after me, I would think, right? But me, sinful David, would think like that. But the truth is that God did this to protect them and to guide them and to give them something that they needed, protecting them from the elements. Not only that, during the day, he gave them a pillar of a cloud. He put some clouds on them so that the scorching heat would not get to them. What an amazing God. All of these elements are just simply natural. But God did that. But there was also beasts. There were predators. There was animals. There was vipers. There was venomous snakes. And you name it, all kinds of animals probably trying to survive in this desert just like they were. Yet, God protected them from all of them. And not only that, God protected them from their enemies. Now, you've read some of them with me. The Og, the king of Bashan, and Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and some of the other kings. As a matter of fact, when you look at the battles that they fought in the desert, there was 13 battles total. Joshua fought 13 battles out there with God's army, with God's people. Let me just tell you about a couple of them. One of them was at Jericho. What happened when they got to Jericho? Jericho, the fortified city, no one could get through it. And all they did was come around and sang and worship. Then they sounded the trumpet and these walls of Jericho fell down. Oh man, I like to go to battle like that. Singing and praising, sounding the trumpet or a sax or something. I'll take you over there with the saxophone at the end. And do something with it. Amen? You see, and God came through for them and delivered them. Now, they're also the Amalekites. You see, the Amalekites were trying to fight the people so that they wouldn't come through. And what did God do? God said to Moses, assemble the army and go against the Amalekites because I've placed them in your hands. Moses gets Joshua. Joshua, the captain of the army, goes against the Amalekites. And they've noticed something. Moses was sitting there. And while Moses had his hands up, they would win the battle. And when Moses got tired, started bringing his arms down, they start losing the battle. So what did they do? All of the leaders came together and raised Moses' arms and they kept them up and they got the victory. Not because Moses was so amazing, not because the leaders were there for him and gave him some support for his arms and they even put rocks under it. Not because Joshua was a great captain and they had a great army, simply because God was performing a miracle. Because he is the deliverer. A little bit further down, we see the people of God going through the desert, and they come over asking permission to the Amorites. And they say to the king of the Amorites, hey man, can we go by here? Please, just let us go by. We'll take the highway. We will not look left or right. We will not deviate. We will not turn. We will not come into your streets. We will not come into your places. We're just going to go straight through because we got a place to go that God has taken us. We don't know where we're going, but we know we're going. So can you please just, you know what, let us go through. And what did the king say? The king said, no way, you're not coming to our land. If you want to come to our land, you're going to have to fight us. So guess what? God said, okay, they want to fight. They want to pick a fight. Then they're fighting against me. Go ahead and overtake them because I've given them into your hands. Guess what? Now the Amorites did not let them through. Now they had to get out because the people of God said, we're taking your land. See, that's what happens when God delivers. God delivers in a mighty and powerful way. Well, you're not just going to go through. Now you're going to take it and you're going to keep it and you're going to stay there for a while. It's like a vacation place. You see, God delivered them from the natural elements and from their enemies. But there was one other enemy that God was trying to deliver them. And things were just difficult. Because the worst enemy that the Israelites were fighting were not the Amorites or the Amalekites. Or the beasts out there. It was themselves. It was their inner selves. Their lack of faith, their doubts, their apathy with God, lack of love, their selfishness. That's the true enemy. And when we analyze this and we can start seeing this with the right spiritual eyes, this is more dangerous and difficult than anything else that they were encountering. You see, our fight, it's not against others. It's against the desires of our flesh. It's ourselves, our selfishness. This morning, as we were here praying around 6 o'clock in the morning, remember that the church is open every Sunday for prayer, right? And I know that some of you came in at 7, right, to pray, and that is awesome. Now, while we were here this morning, at the end of the hour, Ninfa was giving us a little devotional, and Brother Javier, our super deacon, he started sharing, and Ninfa just asked a simple question. She said, what are you thankful for this morning? And Brother Javier was like, you know what I'm thankful for? This morning when my alarm clock went off, and even before it went off, I woke up, and I said, thank you, God, because there are no obstacles. There are no impediments. There is nothing stopping me from getting up out of this bed and going to church and pray for an hour. Thank you. As simple as that, because there is nothing stopping me. You see what I'm talking about? You see, some people think that their worst enemy at, 5:30 in the morning to come over and pray is their covers. Some people think that the worst enemy is the temperature, or maybe it's their pillow. Or maybe it's whatever it is that's keeping them and holding them from coming over and praying. But the worst enemy is ourselves. You see, for example, some people don't want to show up here because of COVID, because the social distancing and all of that. Well, I tell you what, because some people have told me, well, the reason why I haven't been there, Pastor, is because, there's a lot of people in the building and, we need to keep social distancing. Well, in the next service, maybe there is some of that, but here, come on, we got plenty of space. If you're not spaced out and distanced appropriately, that's your fault. Because we still got a seat for you and for you and for you and for you. Yeah, I'm pointing at you over there watching. We got plenty of seats. There's plenty. And as a matter of fact, if you still think that this is not safe sitting in here because of COVID, then do something. Come in at 6 in the morning, grab a chair, go sit outside the temple, go by yourself. And as a matter of fact, you can even take off your mask and pray out there, outdoors, all by yourself at 6 o'clock in the morning. Is there any impediment? Is there any obstacles? Is there anything holding you? I hope there's not, because there is nothing except one thing. As a matter of fact, you may not know it, but there's only one thing or one person holding you from being here. And if you don't know who it is, go dig out your birth certificate and look at the name on it. You'll find out who's actually stopping you from being here. But anyway, let's keep on going. You see, he preserved him from famine and death. He provided for them. He preserved them. Imagine 40 years that they were there. They didn't have to hunt. They didn't have to fish. They didn't have to throw no seeds on the ground and wait for them to come out and grow and give some fruit. They just had food. They were provided by God. From the heavens, they had manna each and every day. And still they were complaining, of course. And now, as they complained, God said, well, I'm going to give you some little chickens or, you know, Cornish hens, right? Now you're going to eat meat. Now you're going to have a feast, roasted Cornish hens. And still they were complaining. I don't know. Because they were still remembering Egypt. Slavery. They rather be in slavery than be in the hands of God. You see, this is what happens to us as Christians sometimes, that we say, hey, I've been delivered. Oh, thank you, God, for your deliverance. But we are still thinking about the old things of the past, and sometimes we actually even want to go back. But we need to be trusting God's provision, and we need to be trusting his deliverance. The Bible says at the end over there in verse 25, who gives food to all flesh. He's the provider. Now, let me tell you a little story. You know that we've been collecting offerings and sending money to Honduras and Nicaragua. We've helped some of our own church families whom their either parents or grandparents or brother and sister have lost everything. And I mean everything back in Honduras and in Nicaragua. And we've given them, with the offerings that we've collected, we've been able to help some of their families. And not only that, all the money we're sending goes straight to a Baptist church over there that is handling all kinds of stuff and doing all kinds of stuff for the people. So far, I got to tell you, and I'm going to give you a quick report. We've collected so far $3,300. $3,300. Of which we have already sent $3,000. And guess how much more we're going to be sending? $2,000 this week. We're going to send more than we collected, because I think I told you before, we're not going to send what you give. We're going to send that and more out of our budget. So right now there's $5,300 available for us, and we've already sent $3,000. So we got $2,300 more that are going their way. Now, let me tell you a little story of things that happened. And you can go to our Facebook page and see some of the things that are happening. But I was told by Dr. Soriano that at church, the pastor, Pastor Joaquin, he's the one leading God With Us Baptist Church, and he's the one leading the effort in the area. And he got a phone call from someone who said, listen, we need food. We need milk, specifically. We need milk for about 15 children. These children will starve in the middle of these hurricanes and pandemic and everything. Just, we need food for 15 kids. Can you please help us out? Well, Pastor Joaquin started praying, and he started digging and saying, okay, we got to get some milk to these 15 children. Well, little did he know that with the money that we had sent, Dr. Soriano and his wife Maritza had been out at the supermarket, and for some reason they thought, we need to buy milk for the children, and we need to get some food for the kids. And they got enough food and milk, not for 15, but 100 kids. Now, the pastor didn't know this, and he gets another phone call from a man saying, what do you need? He's like, right now, I need milk, emergency. We need milk and food for 15 kids. And the guy said, well, guess what? Here's this much money. Buy all the milk and food you can for these kids. And they were able to buy for 380 kids, okay? Plus the 100 that were bought with our money that we sent, that's 480 kids that are going to have milk and food for weeks. I want you to think about that. God orchestrating his deliverance and his provision over people, because he gives food to all. That's what God does. And he does it through you and me. We are his hands and feet. So let us not stop. Let us not give up. Let us keep and let us continue helping, because there's still so many people who need help. You see, God's protection, God's preservation, and last but not least, God's guidance. And he guides us to a safe destination. See, he had his people, and he told them, come on, follow me. I'm taking you to a land which you haven't seen before, a land that you don't know, a land that you don't know. You see, that's God's GPS right there. What does GPS stand for? I just came up with that this morning. Well, yesterday evening. God's path to safety. Simple as that. You want God's GPS? Yes, God's path to safety. That's what you need. That's what I need. He knows where he's taking us. They didn't know where they were going. As a matter of fact, when they set out and they said, okay, we're going, they reached the promised land in 2 weeks. When God pulled them out of Egypt, it took them a whole 2 weeks to get to the promised land. And when they got to the entrance to the promised land, they said, well, let's send some spies in there to check out the land, see what we're going to encounter in there. And God said, it is your land. You can go in and take it. They sent these spies, and the spies came back and said, oh, no, there's people there that look like giants. We're like midgets compared to them. There's no way we can take them. So the people of God said, nah, I don't know about that. So they wandered in the desert. And they were wondering where they're going while they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. Can you imagine that? You arrive at your destination in 2 weeks. But you decide to keep running in circles around in the desert for 40 years because you're scared. That's exactly what happened to them. God had already delivered them, but they weren't living their deliverance. A lot of us Christians, we claim Christ in our lives, and we say we've been delivered, but we live like we're still in bondage. And we need to stop that, because that is not God's GPS. That's not his path to safety for us. One thing is for sure. God could have said to Israel, oh, really? You guys don't want to go in? You guys don't want what I promised? You guys don't trust me? Guess what? You stay in the desert on your own. I'm backing up. You're on your own. But God did not do that. Even through all 40 years in the desert, they ate because God provided. They were clothed and they were, provided completely by God. God took care of them, even in their fears, even in their lack of faith. God spent the next 40 years leading and guiding the people of Israel until they finally took the right turn, until they finally listened to God's voice. Please enter the promised land now. And they finally did. And God's kindness is so amazing. It says here that he gave them an inheritance. Not only they inherited the land that they fought for against the Amorites and took it from them, but they also inherited a land that they did not conquer for themselves. Well, there was some conquering in there, but it was only by the grace of God and his power, because God is the one who delivered them. His kindness, his loving kindness. You see, God has left us all of this stuff written in this book with every single detail clear in his word, with so many things, so that we also, the ones who say that are called by his name, that we will also have plenty and all confidence in the one that took us in as sheep of his pasture. Remember when I read Psalm 100 at the beginning? I don't know if you remember. It says that we didn't make ourselves. He made us, and we are the sheep of his pasture. We are his. You see, the one who took us in and called us with a divine call to be in his purposes. He called us with a purpose. He called us as his children. He has set us apart for himself, and he has given us a place next to him. He has not forgotten about us. We may be in this life, in this desert called 2020, but who cares as long as God is by our side. And at the end of it all, he's got a special destination for all of us, a promised land that he has prepared for himself and for us to enjoy with him. So we ought to be thankful for God's protection and guidance, his deliverance from sin, from condemnation, from all fears. He gives us true hope. Like no one else gives us. That's something to be thankful for. See, God protects and he provides for those he has in his hands. I want you to know something. In John chapter 10, Jesus said the following in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Now check this out. And I give them eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Oh my God, when you're in God's hands, are you in good hands? I don't care if you're in good hands. Are you in God's hands? Amen, right? Those are the truly good hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Amen. What an amazing thing. He keeps us. He delivers us. And he protects us, and he provides for us. He preserves us because he loves us. And if we are just willing to trust him, he will then guide us to our final destination in his arms. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, because his loving kindness endures forever.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.